Again, I'm really full of gratitude and humbled by Donovan asking me to speak. Easter was quite the task at hand, and then the follow-up. Then the follow-ups kind of seemed harder, like he was talking about it. You're ready for a fight, you know, you're pumped, do the fight, and then the next weekend is the fight again. You know, it's, you're kind of, you know, sore and tired, and you're not really, you know, ready for another one. But so this week has been quite the journey of, because back home when I used to preach, it was one sermon on a Sunday, but here's twice. So, and it's really a new experience for me. And plus, doing back-to-back, because when I was pastoring back home, I would usually ask a friend or some other pastor to cover the next weekend, so I would have some time to gather my thoughts and this scatterbrain of mine. And so last Sunday, I spoke about his life, death, and resurrection. And at the end, I mentioned it not being a funeral, but a celebration of life and victory. And how can we use this time? It's kind of like a spring for our spirit, how we can renew it. And as I was preparing this message, I just couldn't shake the feeling of how I see dimly and how, so this is really just a selfish sermon, sorry. It's like I so want more of you, I want to see more of you, and I have this urgency, this pressing feeling of, we're going to the ocean and getting a thimble of water. And we're like, yes, you know, that's awesome. We have that thimble of water, but it's still a thimble. I'm like, what's wrong with me? And how can I convey that feeling that I'm processing this need for more? Should I speak about repentance, fasting, prayer, reading the Bible? All really important things. And they're really necessary. But that didn't really hit what was going on inside me. Like, didn't hit the target. And it was kind of like Job 42:5 when it says, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes see you. And I just wanted that moment, really selfishly for myself. And I think we as a congregation are at that point that we've done step one, we've done step two, and now we're like, now what? It's kind of, we're done with basic boot training camp, whatever it's called. And now, how are we going to achieve more, get more? And that feeling was pretty frustrating for me, to tell you the truth. I had a two-hour discussion with Donovan last Wednesday and about this cloud of thoughts. I was trying to collect and form some kind of a rational, coherent statement about what was going on inside of me. And we pushed back and forth. I said to him, we're not on the same page at all. Then I realized two things, both equally as important as fasting, praying, reading the Bible, and that's gratitude and relationships. And if somebody feels the need to walk out and scream heresy, just wait, hold on, I'm going to explain. All of these things are linked together. If one part starts to fall apart, it affects all other parts, so I'm going to try and paint that picture for us. And it dawned on me that I would have never come to that conclusion on what to speak about without a relationship. A friend to talk about what's going on in my life, how necessary it is to have somebody to process these things, pray together, and just hang, just be friends. So I'm going to try and intertwine these three things today: growth, gratitude, and relationships. So some of you may know by now that I really like stories. But we have somebody that liked stories more than I did. That was Jesus. Over one-third of his teaching was in parables, so in story form. Matthew 13. So I have all the scriptures in one slide, just for me. Sorry, people. It's not fancy, but I'm not capable more. Donovan's not here. I was wondering if we could hire an assistant that would be like here doing the clicking for me. Nope. So yeah, Matthew 13, 10, 12. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." So when I read that, I'm like, oh, why can't I be the part of the chosen disciples that know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? "But to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. So for whoever has, to him more shall be given." And that's kind of where my process has been this week. How can I be a part of that? "To him more shall be given." I want that. Give me more. And Joseph Benson's commentary on the Bible is really good. And it explains this scripture so well for me. "For whosoever has, that is, improves what he has, uses the grace and blessings imparted according to the design of the giver, to him shall be given more and more in proportion to that improve." Now I'm switching back to my commentary, which is not as elegant. "So you will be given more and more in the proportion of your improvement." So let me be really clear. I'm not talking prosperity theology here, like health, wealth, success, gospel. I'm talking about wisdom, discernment, joy, meekness, faith, trust, hope, love, all these things. And I really liked when Benson said, "He who improves what he has." And then when I read that, I was like, how do I do that? How do I improve what I already have? So it's, for me, it's back to the golden rule again in Luke 16:10. "Be faithful in little, and God will bless you with more." Some might say, what's my faithful in little? If you have a boss at work, which is, he's not nice, he's not fair, he's rude, show up on time, be gracious, do a good job, go beyond what they ask of you. That's the first step in being faithful in little. At the grocery store, if you see an old person struggling, help them out. And if a cop pulls you over, be nice, courteous, instead of being mad and going on the offensive. Because there might come a day or time when you actually need a cop. And then you're going to be super happy that they're there doing their job. And a part of their job is actually pulling you over. So just remember that. So we, in every situation, extend love and be the light that God wants you to be, even though you don't really like that situation at that moment. So I could list endless other examples, but I will list a few scriptures. So these scriptures are in the context of growing. Romans 13:1, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God." For example, Justin Trudeau, I might not agree with what he says or what he does, but God's in control. And I've been guilty of this myself, going online, posting funny memes or pictures and being like, I'm so clever, and making fun of the leaders of the world. And instead of praying about them, and we can ask ourselves, what's the hard way and what's the easy way? The easy way is go online being all funny, I'm so clever. But the hard way is actually doing something about it, praying for them. The list goes on and on. So let's not forget that God is in full control. He didn't just, like, one day, who's this Justin Trudeau guy? What is he doing? Is he the prime minister? I'm shocked. I had no idea. Who made this happen? You know, he's in control. So Proverbs 16:33, I like how it's written in some Bible versions. It's like, it's different in some other versions. "We may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall." So everything is in his control. So does that mean that Christians shouldn't do anything except pray? Of course not. If you're passionate about something, write a letter to your MP, whatever it's called, run for office, be the change in your community that you want to be. Just don't cry about it, but do something. Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So that's a tough one for some people. Maybe you had awful parents. But you can also just be grateful that they gave you the gift of life. Just start there. And from that moment on, try to incrementally start forgiving them, pray for them, be faithful in little, and then that might grow into something bigger. And 1 Peter 2:17, honor everyone. Yes, that means all people, sadly sometimes. So, but love the brotherhood, us brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a difference in honoring and loving somebody. Fear God, that's a good one. Honor the emperor, also hard sometimes. Honor everyone. Be thankful that we have a community. Thank God for Winnipeg, because you could be living in a far, far worse place. Gratitude, love your brothers and sisters in Christ with a passion. If you're having a hard time with that, and sometimes it's a challenge, then work on it through His Word with God, through somebody that you trust, in a relationship that you trust. And talking about being thankful for Winnipeg, me and Donovan went to a cabin in March, stay one night. It was a great way to unplug. We roasted sausages in the fireplace, went out for a walk, chopped firewood, which I was extremely bad at. Never done it before. And I'm just thankful Donovan was trying to teach me, and I'm thankful that I didn't chop off my foot. So this may look big, but I was really bad at it. So given it was only one night, but when you've been used for running water for 38 years, you kind of miss it. And there was no running water. And it makes you view running water differently. So when I came home, I was really happy to take a bath and have a flushing toilet. So it's all about perspective. So remember to honor and be thankful for things before they're removed from your life. God, your family members, friends, relationships, that's the most important thing you can improve on. He who improves what he has, right? More shall be given. I love that. I could just stay there all day. And this is pretty fresh in my mind, so, and I have used this example before, so sorry. But nobody has ever said on their deathbed, I wish I would have spent more time on the computer or on the phone. So how about if we put those things away? Maybe we can come up with a rule once a week, Friday on the Sabbath, Sunday, after 5 p.m., no computer or phone, and let's talk to one another. We can look each other in the eye and actually talk with one another without being like, yep, I agree, yep, you know, I'm simulating a phone. So let's make dinner together, play games, go out for a walk, celebrate the people in your life. Just small steps. Be faithful in those little things and relationships will start to grow. Remember how I said all these things are linked? Sorry. When gratitude and relationships start to grow, it also affects everything else. And speaking about perspective and how things have evolved and changed over the years in the context of gratitude, my mom was born in a chicken coop. No, they weren't farmers, and they did not live out in the bush or in a village. They lived in the capital back home. There was just so much poverty. It wasn't long after World War II. Everything was rationed. But my grandparents are the hardest working people I've ever known in my life, and they were trying to build a home. They were rationed nails. They had to borrow timber from friends. It was really tough times. The floor in the coop used to freeze. No running water, and now I know what that feels like. So I can relate to one thing. I've never been had anything rationed in my life, as you can see. I wish my mom could hear the story, but she always listens online afterwards, so that's good. Hi, Mom. Yeah, she's probably laughing now as well. So when my grandmother was giving birth to my mother, my grandfather had to run up to the road with a lantern, and it was just mud, no paved roads, no nothing, so the doctor would know where to stop, what house. When the doctor and the nurse arrived, the doctor was drunk. So in this chicken coop, you have my grandmother giving birth to a drunk, no, she's not giving birth to a drunk doctor. She's giving birth, and you have a drunk doctor, and the birth was just going really badly. And during the delivery, the nurse breaks a bottle of pain medication, and my grandmother thought, yes, some relief, but oh no, the nurse took it herself. So you have a drunk doctor and a strung-out nurse, and the baby's coming out feet first. She finally delivers, and the umbilical cord is wrapped three times around her neck, and she isn't breathing at all. So for a while, the doctors tried whatever doctors do to resuscitate her, and at one point then he says, that didn't work, so at one point he says, oh, this is pointless, takes her and throws her away like garbage, and when she hits the table, she starts to breathe. So it was remarkable. I only tell you the story so we can be thankful for all the hard work that people have gone before us have done. Today, I'm to blame as well for this, we complain about everything. This and that, everything can be a problem. So let's be thankful that you can go to an actual hospital, that the doctor isn't drunk. We have paved roads, well, paved-ish in Winnipeg, let's face it. Thankful that we have heat in our house, running water, we aren't rationed food and other necessary items. Thankful for GPS, so we don't have to find a man with a lantern somewhere. And some of you might be thinking, yeah. I don't care. But I think that's really the problem. The lack of gratitude towards what we have today, built on the shoulders of other people, is going to affect your relationship with God in a big way. Bringing that attitude of yeah, before God is not going to work. So just imagine you are in eternity, and you go before the throne, the King of Kings, you go on your knees, and you see him there, and you're just so humbled, so honored, so thankful, so, you know, we can't even put it into words. And how far removed that feeling is from the entitlement of, yeah, what can you do for me sense of things. We have to bring that posture into our everyday living, everyday life. We have to stop this attitude of pride, arrogance, and being unthankful for everything. Is that how you and me, myself, and I view God? Everything that he has done for you, what the apostles did and gave their life for. Yeah. But what about me? I hope that's not you, and I hope that's not me. Because if it is, we're not seeing the picture. We're not even seeing the frame of the picture. So Jeremiah 6:16, stand by the ways and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. So much can be learned about this question of the ancient paths. How do I worship God? How can I do these things? How learn from the older generation? How can I be thankful for stuff? What's my posture to my wife, my kids, you, all these people in my life? Am I thankful for my wife, or am I, yeah. Gratitude and relationships are so important. You know what I think got people through those hard times back home and probably here in Canada? It's relationships with each other and God. They were thankful for everything that they had, not unthankful for everything that they lacked. So in my meeting with Donovan, he showed me this slide, and it was before I reached my conclusion on what I was going to talk about, so it was pretty funny that he showed me this slide. Staying alive, two top things that help you stay alive the longest. It's social integration and close relationships. And it was this woman, Susan Pinker. It's a pretty funny name for me. Maybe she was pinker than all the other white people, I don't know. I'm a foreigner, so what do I know? It was a TED Talk she gave, and it was really interesting. And it's not about a sunny disposition or a low-fat, gluten-free diet that keeps the islanders alive so long. It's their emphasis on close personal relationships and face-to-face interactions. It's fascinating. And her talk is on YouTube if you want to check that out. That got me thinking, how often do I, let's say I come home and we have this gathering in the evening with friends or whatever, and I come home like, oh, I'm so tired. And I hit the couch and I'm like, I don't want to go. And then every time, I'm not joking, every time after it's done, I'm like, this was awesome. Why don't we do this more often? Like, how often do you hear that? We should do this more often. Because I feel energized, I feel refreshed, I feel encouraged. And it's about this. One-on-one time with friends and the living relationships and talking to somebody face-to-face. And I go from there, I'm like, oh, we should do this every time, every weekend. But then I'm like the goldfish in Nemo, I just forget. And every time I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. Then every time, oh, this is awesome. I'm really dumb. So if you want to live longer, work on those close relationships. Matthew 24:14-30, the parable of talents has always interested me a lot. This parable teaches that the Lord expects us, his servants, to be faithful to the task given to us while waiting for his return. So what's the task at hand? God has entrusted us all with one task, not a gazillion, which is good for me. We aren't all called to be teachers, shepherds, worship, or children's ministry leaders. We're not all called to vacuum the church or make coffee, because that would just be really embarrassing, like 200 people making coffee and nobody here. Or if everybody's a preacher, like have 200 people on stage and just Matthew and over there. You know, it would. So we need balance. We are not all called to do everything. But what are we actually called to do? Luke 10:27. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. It's like add on. That's sometimes really hard. But it really isn't more complicated than that. But for us, it's really complicated because it does encompass everything in our life. But if we break it down into smaller pieces, things that we can actually work on and improve, so we don't always be spiritual babies like Paul talks about in Hebrews 5:12-13, let me try to break it down. Instead of seeing all these areas we need to work on or give attention to, we can get easily overwhelmed. So let's make it more simple. Let's encompass this into one thing, something that hopefully will pop into your mind when you're struggling or life just seems to be one degree off. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, give me Jesus. And when I'm alone, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, give me Jesus. That's a simple solution to a more complicated question, but it still holds true. In the morning when I rise, don't give me coffee, breakfast, my safe space, my whatever I need to gather my thoughts before I go out. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, and then everything from that is going to be okay. Don't worry about that car, that house, the mortgage, the job, that watch you want. It doesn't really matter. You can have all this world, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, it's not about the things, the computer. Nobody's going to stroll in that computer when you're dying or hand you that phone because you don't care. You're going to be surrounded by the people that you love, your close relationships, and you're going to reflect on all the memories, the images, the things that you did with those people. And that's what has kept those people in Italy for so they have the highest percentage of people that are over 100 anywhere in the world. And it's because they put so much emphasis on this. If everything flows from that point of view, the gratitude of what he did for us and continues to do for us will make all the other pieces fall into place. You're going to want to read your Bible more. You're going to pray with, your prayers will come alive. Everything is going to flow out. How can I bless the people around me? How can I be that light that we're always talking about? But being unthankful makes everything about you inward focused. And in the process, everything starts slowly to become toxic around you. Jesus said in Matthew 23:11, "The greatest among you shall be your servant." It means be self-denying, humble, and think of others before yourself. Last Sunday, we read in Luke 22:19, where he says, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." But what did he do before he broke the bread? He gave thanks. And he knew of his impending death. Still, he gave thanks. Still, he spent time with his friends. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. For every occasion, good or bad, give thanks, give me Jesus. To wind this up, I know that every pastor says that, and I remember when I was a kid and some pastor would say, last point, I was like, hallelujah. And then like 20 minutes later, and now to my last point, I was like, creeping into depression there. there's a story about an older gentleman who felt like he wasn't getting everything out of church that he needed. He just said, "I just need my Bible," and he lived alone. "I don't need relationships," he thought. And after he had missed a few Sundays, the pastor asked some people at the congregation, "Do you know where he is?" And they said, "Oh, yeah. He told us that he doesn't need church for his spiritual walk. He can do it alone." And one day the old man was home, sitting in front of the fireplace, having his coffee, and then there's a knock on the door, and it's the pastor. He walks in, they sit down in front of the fireplace, say nothing, like men sometimes do. Just sit there in silence. And then after a while, the pastor stands up, walks to the fireplace, takes one firewood out, puts it on the floor, and he sits back down. And they both watch it. It slowly, the flames and the fire dies, and it starts to cool. And then the pastor stands up, says nothing, walks out. You see, we don't need church to be Christians. But we sure do need each other to press on, to not give up, to encourage one another. And if you want to live a long life in the faith and Christianity, and we need each other. Just like the slide said, it's their emphasis on close personal relationship and face-to-face interaction that makes them live so long. How are you going to live long in the faith? Same rules apply. And getting together like this isn't just about what can I get out of it. Trust me, I had a really hard time waking up this morning and I was not excited about preaching. It was just because I feel like I'm totally unworthy And I'm not down on myself, but I'm like, you know, just, I feel like I could just clean. You know, it's that I can be called to clean. I don't need to do this. But getting together like this isn't just about what can I get out of it. It's about who can I bless today. So many times somebody at church has told me something, even here, something completely random, one nugget that shifted my view, changed my week, make me more excited about the future. And sometimes, most of the times, it's just seeing you guys. When I came here this morning, I wasn't thrilled, but when I came and I saw you guys, I was like, yes, my people, the people that I love, that love me back, and I was like pumped. Not about speaking, but just to be here with you. So just a random nugget that somebody said to me has sometimes shifted my whole vision. And so often people have come up to me and said, hey, what you did, what you said, or whatever blessed me. And sometimes it's been years ago and it still blesses them. That's why it's so important that we gather like this. Maybe there's someone here today that is going to be blessed by what you say or just by seeing and being around you. And if you weren't here, then that person would have missed it. You do matter, and being here today matters. You might not know why, but it does matter. And you don't sometimes see the fruit of what you say or do or how you interact, but there's fruit there. So it's really important that we keep that in mind. But on the flip side, we can also easily tear each other down. So let's be mindful, and let's always go back to, you shall love with your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but you're not those people. but encourage one another. Why did Paul even write that? Because it's super important. Back in Jerusalem, they had all these guys, they stuck together. They were building each other up. They had friendships. They would go to one another. How do you feel about this? And then, you know, build each other up. And it's so important that we keep meeting together. And if you feel like, oh, I don't serve a purpose, it's just me. That's kind of how I felt this morning. But seeing you guys serves a purpose. You're blessing people without even knowing it. And let us not neglect our meeting together. It's so profound, as some people do. But the thing is, if some people stop coming, we as a body have to remind ourselves, like, who's missing? Who's gone? Can I text? Can I reach out to that person? Instead of just letting them go, oh, yeah, I don't care. It's so important that we keep an eye on each other, because that's what living relationships do. They love one another, they keep an eye out for each other, and they care for one another. So let's do, Matt can come up, and Melinda. And I forgot, I said this in the first sermon, and I kind of forgot, but all their songs and their lyrics, I was like blown away, because that's how I felt. And I felt like that was so in line with the what I'm talking about today. And I thought, next sermon, I'm not even going to prepare. I'm just going to sit in front and take notes out of all the lyrics and just preach on those random sentences in the songs. It was so good. And I'm so thankful that we have these people here that are super talented. And they're going to sing a song. And when they're singing it, think about what I spoke today, because tomorrow or late afternoon or Tuesday, it doesn't matter, things are going to get in your way and they're going to make you rethink some stuff. You're going to get anxious, angry, or just question life. Then think about this song, and that's really all you need to push through. Break it down to something really simple. not the great grand scheme of things. Just one truth nugget and hold on to that. So let's do just that, friends. Encourage each other. So thankful I'm here today, and God bless and have a great week. Thank you.